bodies, which is has a, actually has a name. It's called the Kuiper Belt, after Gerard Kuiper, an astronomer of the mid-20th century who first postulated it. A few of these things work their way in. They're ice balls that get heated up by the sun. Sunlight, then pressure of sunlight, the pressure of the wind from the sun is blowing a wind from its surface, pushes the gas and the released dust and dirt particles in the comet away, and you see this long streaming tail that very slowly works its way around the sun, visible night to night, very much as the planets are. So now we've expanded the planetary system into the region of the comets, out beyond Pluto. And it turns out that Pluto is one of them. It's not a comet. Don't get confused on that. It's not a comet. It's a transition body. It's a body that, in a sense, tried a planet, but because of lack of raw material, couldn't quite make it. And then we've got another huge reservoir that takes us almost halfway to the nearest star surrounding the sun. It's called the Oort cloud, O-O-R-T, after Jan Oort, another astronomer of the mid-20th century, who postulated that one too. And that's a reservoir of very long-period comets that were created in the planetary system eons ago, were tossed out, that still belong to the solar system. So the solar system is vastly larger in scale than the planetary system. So now we've got the planets. Well, you can count Pluto, you can count it, you can count the moon. Doesn't matter. We know what they are. It's what they are that counts, not exactly what you call them and categorize them. And we've got this band of comets outside the orbit of Pluto and this huge reservoir of comets around the sun. And then we got a whole bunch of little bodies in between Mars and Jupiter called the asteroids. The biggest one is not terribly large. It's considerably smaller than the moon. You roll them all together, you might have gotten an Earth or something like a terrestrial planet. It's kind of fair to call them a terrestrial planet collectively, and if you were walking on one, kind of the biggest one, certainly named Ceres, certainly feel like you were, except you'd be a lot lighter. So we now have at least something of an inventory here of the planetary system, and we will, over the course of this course, over this set of lectures, be looking at all of them in fine detail, beginning with the Earth in the middle, looking outward into the sky at the context of the orbits of the planets around the sun, how they move, and then in detail about their physical natures, and eventually where they all came from. And eventually, where they're all going to go, too, because nothing is permanent. Everything is born and everything dies. And part of astronomy is learning how things are born and how things die, where we came from and where we're going to go. But we have to put the solar system, the planetary system, make no sense if you can't put it into a broader context. The sun is a star. Now, generally, the common phraseology is to talk about the sun and the stars, and we talk about stars particularly. You're talking about all the other ones out there, but keep in mind always that the sun is just one of their number. You go outside on a nice, clear night out in the country with no moon. The average human eye can see maybe 2,000, 2,500 stars. Over the course of the entire sky, the entire night, if you go around the globe, there are probably around 8,000 that are visible to the human eye, depending upon how old you are and what your level of light pollution is. This is just the beginning. They all look pretty much the same when you stand outside at night and look at them. They just appear as little points of light. But